Hello and welcome to another episode of What I Listened To This Week, where we sit down with our awesome panel and listen to what they listened to last week and talk about music, listen to new music, and just have a good time. So I think all the same panel is here from the last episode. So if you haven't gone and checked that out, please go and do so. We also have two panelists that may be coughing throughout, and we may not be able to fix it in post-production. So we apologize in advance. This time, I believe Eric is going to start us off with a question for the panel.
Okay, so if you've met a famous musician, who is it and what was it like? And if you haven't, who would you like to meet?
Should I start?
Go for it, Molly. Yeah.
So I haven't met any famous musicians. I would love to in the future, though. But my main one I would probably want to meet is actually Ryan Tedder from One Republic. I absolutely love his voice. Like, I think his voice is majestic. And for me, as someone who loves to sing, I very much idolize him and his ability. But also, his ability to just make music, like the song he wrote for Top Gun Maverick, I think he wrote in like a day. And just being able to talk to him about music and singing and also just stuff in general to me would be so cool.
Love it. So I haven't met many famous musicians, but Clark Terry, who's a famous jazz trumpet player, he would come to my college every year, to where I went to school for music, and he would come every year and give a concert, and the jazz bands that were at school would like back him for an evening, which is kind of neat, and then there would be faculty who would join in, but he would come every year for like a big show, and then he would also teach a couple of classes, or he would come in and sit in a couple of classes or jazz ensembles. So that was kind of cool. That was like pretty eye-opening experience. My like one fun story from interacting with him is he was trying to talk through jazz waltz rhythms with the group, and so he he kept saying the way that he thinks of it is who parked the car, who parked the car, who parked the car, and then it was like a running inside joke, sort of nerdy running inside joke with a lot of the jazz majors at the school, and so that's like my one little anecdote from working with him.
I have met zero famous musicians. I think if I would want to meet one, I would choose Enrique Iglesias. He is just a very sexy man, and I have a man crush on him. I think he has just, you know, a great voice. I think his music has just, you know, from Spanish all the way to English, it's just kind of been just really fun. I always enjoy listening to his music. Enrique Iglesias did come out to Denver, actually, to play, I think, a couple years ago, and I bought my mom and my sister tickets to go. I did not make it, but it was a mom-daughter event. But I'd like to see him, and I'd like to meet him.
I was obsessed with him in high school. I remember going and getting in a bidding war on eBay for, like, an autographed photo.
That's awesome.
I was obsessed.
And last but not least, Eric.
I've had the good fortune to meet a lot of famous musicians. So, but my favorite famous music, I have two, briefly. I went to see Michael Brecker at the Boulder Theater, and he was sick, and he was going to die in like 3 months, but he put on an incredible show. So after that, my friend and I went to the James Tavern down the street. And so there's this guy there, and I'm looking at this guy, and he looks like so familiar, like I've known him all my life, except he was a lot shorter than I thought he was, so it couldn't be the same guy. Well, it turns out that it was. It was Stevie Winwood.
Ah, Stevie Winwood.
And so I'm sitting at the bar, and I'm talking to this guy, and he was a member of his band. And so Stevie Winwood comes over, and he's got like four steins of beer, and I just look at him, and I'm like, I just heard him on the radio saying, no, I don't drink anymore. And my other one briefly is I was was sitting with a bunch of my buddies in Boulder in front of the Hotel Boulderado, and this guy, this tall guy comes, he's got a lot of hair, and I'm like, I know that guy. It was Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin.
Oh,
so wow. I got so up cool. and stopped him in the middle of the street and said, my wife is a huge fan of yours. Could you give me an autograph? And he said, certainly. What's your wife's name? I said, Mary. And I gave him a piece of paper, and he did this elaborate drawing and signed it and gave it to me. Wow. I said, thank you very much. And he said, you're very welcome, and just continued on his way.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's so cool.
Wow.
I love that.
When was that?
It was 90s.
90s? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. But he was in Denver doing a concert, yeah. So.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so wow. I was glad to know that one of my heroes was not a jerk.
It's always a good feeling.
Right. I know, you kind of assume when they're in a band like that, like, oh, they're not going to want to even spend the time of day to autograph something, but that's cool. Mm. Nice.
Yeah.
So she still got it framed somewhere.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's awesome. Cool. Well, yeah. Thanks for the question, Eric. And if anyone listening or watching has questions that you want us to answer, music-related questions, just pop them in the comments. Or let us know via email, and you can email hello@llamapublicmedia.org, and we'll pass it on to the panel. So on to the fun part. Well, everything's fun here. It's all fun. We're always
having fun.
It's a fun
time. Why else would we be here?
Is very true. Yeah. Is the first song of the evening that we're going to listen to tonight is Curiche. By Nguyen Afrobeat?
Yeah.
That is a name. I'm excited.
So, Nguyen Afrobeat, they are a Chilean collective who plays music influenced by Fela Kuti. Fela Kuti is like a whole other rabbit hole that you can go down, but he's one of the most important musicians who ever came out of Africa.
Hmm.
And so there's this collective 15 people band who play Afrobeat, which is Afrobeat is like James Brown's best band and some jazz and some funk. And then underlying everything is African rhythms. And it's just dancey and fun and cool, but it's also very political. What they formed to do was, besides explore Fela Kuti's music, was defend the rights and sort of champion the native Campuche Indians, the natives of that area, who have been treated badly like a lot of indigenous people. So their songs are very political, but you can dance to them.
Oh, all right.
Political dance music.
Well, here we go. This is Curiche by Nguyen Afrobeat. Thank you.
veneno mortal, aires de superioridad. Con el hermano Araucano, luego con el africano, ambos sufriendo el olvido de sus hijos oprimidos. Hoy su memoria ha sido quemada.
Nice.
Wow.
Love it.
I think everyone was dancing and grooving.
If you're not watching the video and you're just listening to this, we were all like doing a little bit of a chair dance while this was going on, trying not to make noise. I love the layers of it. I think that was my favorite part, how it started, you know, you've got like the drums and then that guitar riff sort of building, and then the horns and then the saxophone and then the vocal, and then it like comes to a crescendo, right? And then it comes back down the mountain at sort of at the end of the song. And part of me also would love to see this live. Like I can just imagine the onstage party that's happening and like the joy.
they've got a lot of YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And if you look for the one for Upside Down.
Mm. Okay.
Because the reason that I chose this song was I love their music, but this was one of their shorter songs. It's like 7 minutes, mm-hmm. and their stuff is, you know, 10, 15 minutes easily always. So I said, well, I can't do that.
I mean, you could.
But that was from 2018, and they're still together and doing stuff.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah, I loved her vocals. I was not expecting the vocals to come in, and then I was like, wow. It just like the way it all just sounded so well together. Yeah. It did give me a lot of like salsa vibes, and I know salsa like derives from like Afro-Cuban music. It made me want to just dance, and again, I'd love to see this live, just big band on stage, and it'd be awesome.
You know, and I'm not going to get a chance to see it, but tomorrow night in Fort Collins, Siyun Kuti, who is Fela Kuti's youngest son, and his band are playing a concert.
Oh.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Cool.
That was a lot of fun. Towards the end, it was a little bit of like, my brain was like, okay, this is going on for a little bit long. But like, for me, sometimes those longer songs I absolutely love and will listen to them on repeat. And then there's other days where it's like, okay, going on a little bit too long, we'll listen to the first half. And then when my brain starts to skip off, we'll move on to the next song. But oh, that one was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think it's obviously like the beat and the drums and the guitar riff are pretty repetitive, and there's like themes that go throughout. But I think when you're dancing to something like that, and especially like, even if you're seeing them live, you're probably dancing. I can't like imagine being in the same space as them physically and not wanting to dance. So I think when that kind of happens, you sort of get lost in it. And then you're like, oh, it doesn't really matter that it's been like a 15-minute song. Yeah. But when you're sitting in sort of a semi-sterile environment like we are now, I can kind of see like your brain may start to wander a little bit. But
my brain likes to skip off at a lot of things.
Also, like cooking dinner to this music. Mm. Totally. Yeah. I see that happening too. I love it.
What instruments normally go as part of like Afro beats? Is it?
Afrobeat is, Fela Kuti, getting back to him.
Yeah.
Because he's the originator of the whole Afrobeat thing, played saxophone, guitar, organ, trumpet. Mm. So he did everything. So it's always like a big band sound, but it's got lots of percussion and lots of different types of percussion. Some of what was really interesting when I was researching this group, because I didn't know a lot about Afrobeat, was that they considered the percussion that came back from the New World, like from Cuba and Brazil, and came back to Africa. Those are the underlying musical rhythms that sort of underpin Afrobeat.
Okay. Mm. Wow. So yes, if this came on the radio, I would love to listen. I would want it to be on repeat. That was a winner.
Yeah, I would want it to be like a block of music from these guys, like, you know, like a feature or maybe like a replay of a live show or something like that. That would be fun to listen to while you're driving, because. Yeah, keeps you dancing in your seat. I don't know.
Yeah, same for me. I don't think I would skip it or anything like that. The only reason I might is like if I was having a very hard to focus day and I started to drift off, would be the only situation I would. And again, towards the end, would still listen to the beginning.
Well, there you go. Awesome. Well, thanks. Yeah, great pick, Eric. All right, next up is a song called Wait a Minute, My Girl by Volbeat. So Volbeat is a Danish rock band formed in Copenhagen in 2001, and they are a fusion of rock and roll, heavy metal, and rockabilly.
Okay.
Rockabilly? Wait a minute, my girl.
Flesh and
combination of things I didn't know I needed in my life.
Just a little bit about I've been listening. I listened to Volbeat. I don't know how I found them, but then this is actually from their last album, which came out last year. And I ran across a song, and I don't know. It was just something about it just like put me in a good, like really good mood. And I just loved it when like the piano and the sax kick on, because it just like changes the tempo, and it's just very unexpected. And it kind of gave me some like party metal, like Andrew WK vibes, for those that know who Andrew WK is. And then, you know, like it goes even faster at the end. I think it's just like the perfect length. And it just kind of wants to, it makes me want to dance and just like troll someone, which I think is like that rockabilly. Like I just want, you know, like not like headbanging, but just, I don't know.
I'd headbang that.
The cons of the song, I do think it's a little bit repetitive. And it was a little bit hard for me to like hear the lyrics and the chorus, which I would recommend looking them up. But just like the main part, all it says is, wait a minute, my girl, wait a minute, my lover. Summer's up and I want you to know that I won't live a minute without you. Anyway, so now it's opened up to what do people think?
I loved it so much. Like you were listing all the different things I was a mixture of earlier. I was like, okay, this is bound to sound at least interesting. And then immediately when it kicked off, it's like, oh, yes. You were talking, like you said, with the different instruments kicking in on all the different stuff. It just kept on getting better in my mind. And just like more auditorily like fun, I guess is how I would describe it. It's just like it kept on getting more and more fun to my head. And it was just, yeah, that was a lot of fun. Don't know what else to say. I really liked it.
When you said rockabilly and then it started, I was like, what? And then, but then like you hear it within like the first 2 seconds, like it definitely does kick in. And a lot of the song structure is very rockabilly. And obviously like with the piano and everything that comes in, it makes perfect sense. But same, like when you were describing the genres, I was like, what's this going to be like? It'll be interesting. I feel like this song for me, it's like, it's very poppy. And I would put it on like in a workout playlist or a running playlist. I was definitely getting vibes of like the pop punk music that I listened to when I was in high school. And sort of that, like, they're trying to be sort of metally rocky, but it's like the vocals are very polished. And like I can picture them like spending a lot of time on their hair. And maybe, I don't know, like they're very like, it just feels very like produced, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's sort of the vibe that I get. And it's like it's interesting because it feels, when you think like metal and rock and stuff, it sort of feels in a way kind of contradictory to that in how like poppy and polished it is, but I still enjoyed it. I feel like I would, for me, maybe categorize this as a guilty pleasure song. Like, I don't know why. I don't know what it is like about my hangups of being broadcasting that I would listen to something like this, which is why I would put it on like a running playlist or an exercise playlist. Mm-hmm. These are my own personal issues. But, I mean, overall, I enjoyed it. I think as I've gotten older, I've sort of gotten to the point where I'm like, who cares how poppy it is or how mainstream it sounds? Like, if it makes you dance in your chair, bop your head, if you want to listen to it again, it doesn't matter. Who cares? Right? So, yeah, I might actually add this to my workout playlist, like, right after this. So.
I was thinking that it sounded like sort of a heavy metal version of Panic at the Disco.
Oh, that's a good comparison.
And then it threw the Elvis references in there right in the middle, and that got me. I was like, man, that was clever. Whoever did this was thinking. And they just did it, and it sort of counterbalanced for me the sort of poppier aspects of it. It's like, because I was just so impressed that they worked that in, and it sounded so natural, like it just flowed. So, yeah, I liked it. And it was fun. It was funny, too.
Yeah, the fact they could put all those genres together and make it sound as cohesive and
yeah.
as good as it did is like surprising based on the way you described it before we listened to it.
Yeah, and I'll say not all their music sounds like that one. Obviously, some of them are a lot maybe lean more towards the heavy metal, like darker metal side of it. Mm-hmm. But this one seemed to have like a, again, in my opinion, just like a good blend of like that, or the a good fusion of everything that they say they do. I did actually I had watched the new Elvis movie on I think it's on HBO now, and I think that's kind of why I was kind of like rockabilly mood.
Yeah.
Which yeah, it kind of reminded me of that.
Definitely, so. Absolutely.
Cool. Well, I think next up is a song called "The Shower Scene" by Ice Nine Kills.
Yeah. So. Find it funny that you played heavy metal because I also brought metal today. I'm gonna look at my phone for this really quick just so I have the exact album name. So this is from an album called The Silver Scream 2, Welcome to Horrorwood. and I had someone show me a live version of this song recently because they went to the concert and were super excited about it. And I heard the song, like it wasn't super good quality, but I was like, I was bouncing along to it, and I was like, you know what? I really like this. And I went and listened to it. And he was talking to me about it and about the band. And the band like basically pays homage to all these different horror movies and games and stuff through their songs. So for me, being the film nerd I am, when I heard this one, I was like, oh, it's paying homage to Psycho. And that's why mm-hmm. it's called The Shower Scene, because of the rant, rant, rant. And you actually hear that theme a little bit in the song. So for me, when I heard it, I was like, okay, I have to share this, especially because we're coming out until October and spooky season. And it's like, you know what? It's fun. I like it. My film nerd is pleased. Let's do it.
All right. Well, up next is The Shower Scene by Ice Nine Kills.
Have a room to spare. Don't run, mother, she is not well. Doctors say she's not all there.
She's crazy, I must confess.
I'm so sick of cleaning up her mess.
Always missing for several days now. I've reason to believe she may have stopped off at this very motel.
So yeah, that's the shower scene. I will also say, like, for me, I've been kind of obsessed with this song recently. Another reason why I brought it too. Like, there's been some days where it's like, okay, I'm going to take a nap, and I put this song on repeat while I'm sleeping. surprisingly, it hasn't caused any interesting dreams. But just, like, for me, the chorus is so catchy, and I just really like the kind of pulse that it has sometimes. And then for me also, when it goes into kind of the last chorus where it, I guess I'll word it as, like, the vocal free fall, where just all the music cuts out and it's just the vocals. I always love when that's done well and, like, it sounds good. Just, like, that feeling, the feeling that causes just always makes me so happy. So, yeah.
This reminded me of, like, Escape the Fate or, like, Senses Fail or, like, mm-hmm. Atreyu.
Yep.
I also really like the vocals, the, like, na 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 na. It was, I think it was done well. I think I would have to listen to that. When I do listen to this genre, I do feel like I'm either angry or, like, want to express anger. Or I'm, like, working out or just, I mean, not that all, like, music like this is about anger or anything like that. I would definitely add this to, like, a, like, workout playlist, or sometimes I might listen to it in the car. Again, I think it depends on the mood, but.
I think for me, there were moments where I wanted to laugh, but then I then I felt bad. I think because the sort of juxtaposition of, like, a woman being murdered in the shower in a Hitchcock film, and then, like, the sort of, like, the angst of the singer that's, like, being expressed through, like, metaphors around that scene in the movie, part of me was like, that's kind of funny. I don't know why. That's, like, that's probably just my sense of humor and me being weird, but I wanted to laugh, but then I was like, well, I don't want to, like, offend the musician or you. Like, I was, so for me, it's like there was a moment where it almost felt like a parody song to me, and I had a hard time kind of taking it seriously. But that doesn't mean that I didn't enjoy it. I think that I just was like, I don't know if this is, like, if they're, like, expressing real emotion and whatever it is, or if it's just they're, maybe it's kind of silly and they're trying to, like, make fun of this movie. And I don't know any of their stuff. So yeah. I don't know what your take is on that.
From my understanding, and, like, I just found out about them recently from someone. They know more, like, way more about it than I do. But from what they've told me and, like, my understanding of it, they are making songs to, yeah, kind of parody these games or, like, movies or whatever. So, like, that one's specifically a movie. I'm not sure how much of, like, more of the, I guess, like, real emotions, as you said, yeah, goes into it. But it is, like, also very much parodying, like, yeah, whatever it's referencing, which is, like, again, it's parodying Psycho. And it's like, okay, I want to show this.
Yeah. Also, like, yeah, this will go on my Halloween playlist for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And I definitely feel like sort of what Sergio said, like, if I'm in a certain mood, there was a time in my life when I listened, like, almost exclusively to music like this.
And sorry.
I feel like it was a lot of, like, you know, it was sort of like that pop metal. I don't want to call it pop metal. It's like metal, but, like, with very good vocals.
Would it be screamo?
Kind of screamo-y, yeah. Mm. So it was like, you know, like, very heavily produced vocals, kind of poppy, but still, like, angry and angsty at the same time. And I think in my life as a teenager, when I was listening to this stuff, I was very, like, angsty and angry about absolutely nothing to be angry and angsty about. But so I feel like there was a time in my life when I probably would have loved this and almost, like, exclusively listened to it. Now, I don't know if I would listen to it all the time. I think Halloween playlist for sure. It's sort of like, I feel like it would be like a one-off thing where I would be, I want to send this to my friend after this because I feel like she's going to get a kick out of it. But would I listen to a whole album of it? Maybe not. I think I wouldn't change it in the car because I would be like, what is this? Again, kind of going back to like the how I kind of found it funny where I was like, where is this going? Is how I would sort of approach it in the car. But yeah, it's fascinating. I had no idea that, you know, a genre of music like this was that existed in the sense of like playing tribute or parodying or however we want to say it, you know, horror films. I didn't know that was a thing. So
that's
pretty cool that you've opened my eyes to this.
I sort of thought I couldn't refrain from the smiling when I heard it because it was like Mystery Science Theater to me.
Yeah.
Very cinematic, but sort of in the background, essentially just that parody. Like, let's go as over the top with this song as we can. And they did everything. I mean, it was loud and it had lots of density and lots of background. And I enjoyed that, but it was sort of like, I'm really liking this, but I really can't take it seriously because it's just too over the top. And that was okay. That was fine.
A horror movie that's very over the top when you're kind of like, well, okay, I guess.
Yeah, so it was sort of okay to smile at it because it's like, well, this is very well done, but I can't take it seriously because it's like, whoa, it's way out there. It's not a song I would listen to like if I was driving late at night on a lonely road either.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's going to pop out of the bushes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody's going to jump in front of my car. I've seen this movie before.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
Well, the next and last song is Avant Gardner by Courtney Barnett.
Yeah. So I'll be curious what you guys think of this. Or have any of you heard the song? Because I feel like it's pretty popular.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Okay. I almost didn't bring it because I feel like it gets like a decent amount of radio play, but that shouldn't matter in this setting at all. But it's just... I'm curious what you guys think of it, especially I think she gets a lot of recognition for her lyrics, especially. She's a pretty talented lyricist, in my opinion. But I feel like her music may not be as widely appealing to the general population. I could be wrong about that, but I'm just curious what you guys think. She's from Australia. This is off of a 2013 record, The Sea of Split Peas, double EP. I picked it because I was listening to this record earlier this week. My friend had gotten it. I've been searching for it for a while. My friend got it for me for my birthday. And I was doing some work for LPMX, Longmont Public Media's radio station. Here's a plug for LPMX. And I was doing some work, and so I had kind of put this on the record player in the background because I hadn't listened to the record sort of all the way through start to finish in a very long time. This is my favorite song off the record. This is one of my favorite songs of all time, probably. I truly love it because I feel like it's my autobiography. In a song. And I think just my general mood this week, just my general day-to-day, I feel like is expressed in the song. And it's been stuck in my head all week. And so it just felt like the right thing to bring. So, yeah.
All right. So here's Avant Gardner by Courtney Barnett. Thank you. That was the end of the playlist. So.
All right, what'd you guys think?
That was figuring out the right words. Like, I really liked it. And it was interesting for me because a lot of the song felt very much like a calming vibe to me and like something I would put on this one playlist I have for calming down. However, there's also a lot of like underlining uneasiness, I guess is how I would describe it. Like the guitar screeching kind of quietly and like going from ear to ear. And just some of that stuff, it would like, I would be calm and something like that would happen and it would like make me uneasy. And it was like this weird back and forth between like calm and uneasy that I don't think a song has ever made me experience before. It was a trip.
Yeah, you know, I've never really heard anybody describe it like that, but it makes sense, right? Because it's reflective of what's happening in the song as she's talking is sort of like these anxieties and this panic and also like trying to like, there's that kind of repetitiveness that can bring some calm, but then every now and again, there's like the guitar screeching or the weird kind of, I don't know how to describe it. It's like when you're on the guitar and it kind of makes a little like wah-wah bendy kind of sound, which can be kind of creepy and eerie and sort of unsettling. So I think that having those sort of like pop in, it's almost like when you're, you know, when you have anxiety and you're trying to like calm down and then every now and again, like a little worm gets in your brain and it's like, no, be anxious about this. So that's sort of, kind of how I think of it, but that's a great way to describe it. And yeah, I've never really heard anybody describe it like that.
I really want to like see like all the lyrics because they were very clever and there were like a lot of like really funny like lines that I like, but now I don't like remember any of them.
Yeah. People are dying.
Yeah.
That one almost made me laugh. Was the juxtaposition from the playing guitar to I thought she was clever because she stops people from dying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just so poor.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think she said something about like using gardening as like almost like a way to escape whatever is happening, almost like mm-hmm. in daily life. Yeah.
It was like she used epiphenedry in a song, and I said, yeah. "That is so brilliant."
Yeah.
But yep. What I really liked was I thought it was going in a direction, and it was like listening to a really bizarre country song on acid.
Yeah.
And it was so clever lyrically. I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. And the way that her voice sort of bent, and it sounded, you know, pretty straightforward, and then it sort of lapsed into this sort of Australian drawl.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made the whole song really different. And I love the way that the guitars in the background were just sort of not the sweet, you know, calm, but sort of weird and distorted and sort of uncomfortable almost. But yeah, pretty darn brilliant, I think.
Yeah. My favorite lyric in the song is the last one where she says, "I take a hit from an asthma puffer. I do it wrong. I was never good at smoking bongs." And yeah, like, that just was another good one. I think the first time I ever heard the song, that lyric, I just started laughing the second I heard it, which is kind of funny. And it's almost like, you know, trying to make something sort of humorous when, you know, in reality, if you're having a panic attack. It's not great, but it's like trying to make light of that, which is funny. Her lyrics are outstanding. Every song that she has is just fascinating to listen to, and especially sometimes when you look at the song title, like in the case of this one too, like she never says the song title in the song, and a lot of her songs are like that. But sometimes when you like she has a song called Pedestrian at Best, but and like the chorus lyric is "Put me on a pedestal and I'll only disappoint you," which is which is essentially like she's basically saying she's pedestrian at best, but not saying it right. So it's really interesting. What's kind of funny is that she has a new single out that she did with Sleater-Kinney, which is kind of interesting, where the lyrics are not creative. It's like she almost says the same thing over and over again for like 2.5 minutes. And I liked the song. I enjoyed it, but I was like, wait a minute, this doesn't seem like you. Like you're all like her lyrics are really a lot of times what I listen for. So that's kind of an interesting departure in that new single that just came out. But yeah, always fascinating.
I don't think I would normally listen to this. Yeah. But I think that the lyrics and the guitar in the back, in the background, like kept me focused, where like I want to listen to her other stuff now, and pay more attention to like the words. So yeah, I would listen to this on the radio if it came on.
Yeah, me too. If I was in the car and this came on, I heard those guitars, I said, okay, I got to dig in for this.
Yeah. Yeah, like it hooks you pretty quickly off the beginning with just like kind of some of those feelings. And then just, yeah, the lyrics are so, missing the word, but, you know, they're, I don't want to say quirky, that's not the right word, but it's the word that's coming to mind. It's just like, they hook you very quickly, and you're like, wait a second, what is this about?
Yeah. They make what are you saying? Hear more of the lyrics.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting. And I know a lot of times when I've done, like, listening thing, like, activities like this with other people, I feel like there's always one person in the room who's, doesn't matter how good the music is, they're always like, well, the lyrics were not good, and therefore I did not like the song. And sometimes I just want to be like, oh, you should go listen to this. You should go listen to this and see what you think. And I think of those types of people sometimes when I listen to this. But yeah,
take some good lyrics. Glad you guys liked it.
Yeah, right. I know. Like it would, I feel like it would be good even if it was just like a spoken word thing on stage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, any closing thoughts before we wrap up episode number two?
Good evening. Good songs. Looking forward to what we're going to do next. Can't be the same genre because that's one of the rules.
Yes.
Yeah. Thinking I'm going to go pop next time.
Oh.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what my mood is. I feel like 3/4 of us brought like maybe moderately angsty music tonight. Something going on, feeling a little angsty.
Two types of metals, some anxiety songs. And then we got the party song.
Yeah. Yeah, Eric brought the party song to lift us all up tonight because we clearly needed it.
It was a very high start, and then just got more angsty the more further we went in.
Yeah.
Well, thanks everyone for being here, for contributing, for listening to music. For those listening or watching, if you have a song that you want us to listen to, just put it in the comments. Maybe we'll listen to a guest song. And yeah, we will catch you all next time. And if you want to, again, just stay up to date on these episodes, you can find us on Spotify or Llama Plug Media YouTube. And we'll see you all next time.